A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***?
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello and welcome to Table Manners. We are together.
Jessie.
What?
I'll tell you what I want. What I really, really want.
So tell me what you want, what you really, really want. I want your frigging phone not to go off when we're doing a bloody podcast.
Is it mine?
Yes, Mum. Yours is the most annoying ringtone. It's like, I'm here. I'm important.
I am important though, darling.
Well, I was going to say, it's time for two to become one, Mum.
Is it?
Yeah. Well, actually, three become two. Actually, it doesn't work. We are finally together. First podcast together since the old lockdown.
In my garden.
Al fresco. Socially distant.
Yeah.
A spot of afternoon tea with a Spice Girl.
Spicy.
I'm really excited to have this woman on. I listened to her Desert Island Discs and I wanted to be her friend. But also, I love how much she has done since leaving the Spice Girls. Whether that be bring out like rave tunes, brilliant. Is it a noughties classic? Baby, when you're gone. Play one of the best roles in Blood Brothers. I may ask her to sing.
And
what?
Mary Magdalene.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yes. Some huge musical roles. She is Melanie C. She is making new music. It is really great. And
we've got Sporty Spice.
We've got Melanie C, Mum.
Okay, darling.
The artist formerly known as Sporty Spice. Actually, she's kind of been... She's been Melanie C, she's been Mel C, she's been Sporty Spice. But yeah, we've got Melanie C coming up on Table Manners. Do you want to go and get that?
I've had a lot of emergencies.
We have Melanie C in our garden in Clapham. Excited. And we've got a dodgy table that's going to be really annoying for our producer, Alice. And it's going to... But we've already got the champagne out. Actually, Melanie bought a lovely bottle we've cracked open.
A nice pink one. Let's do cheers.
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 Oh, cheers.
Lovely
cheers.
To meet you.
Too.
Cheers. To be here.
Cheers.
To COVID buggering off.
To a version of normality. But anyway, look, it's such a pleasure to have you.
We're so excited.
It's so nice to be here because I've listened to many and I was like, I'd love to do that. And here we are.
Oh, well, I heard you on your Desert Island Discs and that was bloody good.
Whew, do you know what?
Was it like therapy?
Full on. It is, but there's something really strange. It's really lovely because, you know, obviously Lauren's fantastic, but the whole team, it was all women.
Oh, that's
so
nice.
You feel like you're in a really safe space and you just feel compelled to delve really deep into your soul. And I literally uncovered some things I didn't even realise, you know, when you're just in that headspace and, you know, these little realisations come. But yeah, I was exhausted at the end of it.
Well, I had a similar thing when I did Elizabeth Day's How to Fail. Have you done that yet?
I've not, but
you
I've
need
been
to
talking
do it.
About
You need
doing
to do it,
it,
but it is full on therapy.
Yeah.
And you know when you're like, what did I actually say in that interview? And like, did I just say the wrong thing because you felt so free? And I always think it's kind of credit to the interviewer because they've obviously done a really good job. And it's always quite
made
nice.
Made you feel so relaxed that you can, just be very open. But I hate that thing with, you know, I have it less as I get older. But when I was younger, you do an interview and then the anxiety afterwards or you wake up in the middle of the night thinking, oh, I said that. You know, because sometimes you say things and you don't mean it or it can be taken the wrong way. And it's like awful.
But do you mean when you were with the girls or was it like post when you were Mel C that come out of Spice Girls? Because I can imagine like
I'm if you say come out of the closet then.
No.
I was gonna say Jess.
Come out of the Spice Girls.
Bloody hell.
No, I've had one sip of champagne and I'm like so when you were with the girls, was it kind of everyone had their place of everyone knew when they were going to speak? Because you were always, I mean, you were all quite vocal, weren't you? But like...
Yeah, I think there's stronger personalities in the band and definitely a dynamic. Yeah. But I think one of the things about us girls was we never had media training. It wasn't a thing when we came out. And I think all artists have it now, or, you know, young bands.
Yeah.
So we just said anything and spoke over each other, and everyone loved it, I think, because it was quite chaotic. So it was part of the, you know, the appeal.
But we have met the other Mel. B.
Oh, yes, you
She
have.
Was fucking late. You were she was the, nearly you were the earliest
hours,
Spice Girl.
2 hours late for a roast. Can you imagine?
I mean, love her. Naughty girl, love her, but she was fucking late. Yeah. She wasn't 2 hours, Mum. She was 50 minutes.
Was she?
Maybe an hour and a half. I'm not sure.
An hour and a half.
But always forgiven.
And she did have the longest boots I've ever seen in my life. They came up to here.
She did look fantastic.
Yeah.
I'm always a little bit late, but not. I'm never on time. Just a little bit late.
Yeah, I think like...
I think when you've got kids, it's difficult because there's always something. You know, you have this plan and it never goes.
So you've got one little girl and two
stepchildren. Yeah.
And how has... I mean, I'm kind of bored of this question, but I kind of feel like... But I mean, actually, I'm not even going to ask it because I've been asked it so much. Well, you've been promoting music in lockdown.
Yeah.
And it's been a lot, like having a family and...
I literally, I have to be honest... I feel like I'm quite close to the edge.
The edge of what?
Have you got a holiday book?
All the time. I'm going to go up north next week because I've not seen my mum for the whole time.
Where are you from?
I'm from, we're just outside Liverpool, a place called Widnes. I grew up, which is just in between Liverpool and Manchester. And I'm taking just me and my little girl, and I'm going to see my mum and my mates and my dad and my sister and just chill. It's my holiday this year, so I'm going to the Costa del Widnes, which I never thought I'd be so excited to do.
So, Melanie, growing up in... Is it
Widnes?
Widnes.
That's down the East Lancs Road.
Oh, yes, it is. Of course, because you're... Yeah,
so Mancunian. To get from Manchester to Liverpool,
when
we had to get to the cavern... You went down the East Lancs Road. Oh, I only ever went once.
Where did you go and see it at the cavern?
No one special.
Okay, fine.
Well, you might have seen my stepdad because his band used to play on the cavern, and they played the same night as the Beatles a few times. Oh, he was in a band called The Addicts.
The Addicts.
And what kind of music was it?
I think it was similar, really. Kind of
Merseybeat. It was all kind of Merseybeat rock and roll. Yeah.
Amazing. So growing up, what was on the dinner table? What's like a really early memory of food? Who was cooking?
My mum's a great cook.
Is she?
Yeah. And she cooks everything from scratch. It's like she will search high and low for every ingredient she needs, which was amazing as a kid because I just grew up. I'm not a great cook, but I have like these basics. Mm. And I think it's really important. Mm. It's an important life skill, isn't it? Mm. And she used to make like Chinese food and, you know.
Crikey.
Yeah. And I think in the 80s, that was like, ooh.
I don't think
so adventurous.
You've never tried Chinese even now.
Just about to do a few noodles.
A sweet and sour do, yeah.
Yeah, but that was one of our sweet and sour pork. That was one of the staples. But it's funny because it was a mix between like the wonderful home-cooked food and baking or Findus crispy pancakes. Well, I think it depended on time.
Everybody loves Findus.
And what did you prefer?
I think... Probably the mix.
Yeah.
Having a bit of both. Yeah. I remember the microwave coming in and just being obsessed doing it. Microwave chips. Disgusting. Pizzas in the microwave. Disgusting.
They are. And so would you say you're a good cook then?
I think if I put my mind to it, my other half is a very good cook, so I've got quite lazy.
Right.
And I think when you get lazy, you lose your confidence a bit, don't
looking
you?
So pleased.
Yeah. Her other half is here, and he's got a little wry smile on his face.
Yeah. He has a go at me because I'm like a backseat driver, passenger seat driver.
Yeah.
But he's like a passenger seat cook. You know what I mean? You'd be like, are you chopping the onions like that?
He's head chef.
Yeah.
Right.
It's really irritating.
So were you, I mean, I know that at the beginning of lockdown, I was eating like a friggin' queen. Mm-hmm. I was going, because for me, it was kind of cherished time with my kids that, you know, was imposed on us, which was amazing, but it also made everything stood still. But I was getting all the, because there were loads of amazing food boxes going out, and you were kind of, because I wasn't going to supermarkets. So I was cooking so much meat and I was cooking really great food, and my husband was like, this is like, I mean, I shouldn't say this, but he was like, this is like we're on holiday. Like, you literally are cooking. We just moved out of here because we were getting our house done. And we were cooking and eating and consuming. And it was kind of almost to the point where I was like, okay, maybe we need to have soup for a week or something like that. What were you cooking during lockdown? Did it change?
Absolutely. And I felt exactly the same. And I think because, you know, it still is. There's such uncertainty and also, you know, a lot of fear. And we kind of felt like we needed to comfort ourselves, didn't we?
I agree.
You know, drinking more.
Yeah, ma'am.
You know, eating more. But it was funny because I always order my food online. And then, of course, there was a time when you couldn't get
hold of anything.
Yeah, so I was down Waitrose, give them a little plug, and, you know, doing my shop, which I quite enjoyed. But I thought, this is like the shittest Christmas ever. Isn't it? Because you just buy all the things you'd only ever buy at Christmas.
Yeah, right. Yeah. that's brilliant. But I just, I'm interested about how music is feeling now because...
Yeah. Oh my God, there's so much to talk about. I mean, so much of that conversation, I'm like, oh, I want to say this. So talking about standing still, I think in most people's lives now, we're so busy, we never stay still. Mm. And I think in our career, we travel so much, we're so busy, you've got work, you've got kids, and you would never self-impose that much stay-at-home time. Mm. In fact, I think this is the most I've ever been at home in my adulthood, you know, since my career started.
How old were you when you started?
Well, Spice Girls, we got together in 94, but I left home when I was 16. And I know, I'd never let my daughter leave home. Now. And I was a little girl. I was in digs at the time, so we were with families. I went to Performing Arts College in Kent. So, yeah, looking back, I was way too young to do that. But that kind of started my nomadic life. Because I was moving, you know, when you're a student, you're all over the place, aren't you? Moving from one place to the next. And then Spice Girls happened and we continued to do that. And then with the travelling and touring and everything. So to be in one place for that time was a bit of a novelty at first. I was like, this is amazing. It's wonderful. And like hanging out with my little girl, putting her to bed every night, getting up with her every day was lovely. To the point where I just thought, there's a reason I do the job I do. And that's because I don't like staying in one place for too long. You know, one of the reasons. And also there was that whole thing of I had music ready to go.
Yeah. How did it affect when you put it out or anything?
Well, I was, when everything started to gather pace with COVID, we were in Australia and I'd started my promotional tour and I had such a fun trip. I'd organised all these cool Airbnbs. We were doing Australia, LA, amazing. New York, Montreal. My little girl was going to come out for a bit. It was all really, really fun. And we did Australia and that all went fine. And there was lots of toilet roll jokes because that was at the point when all the toilet rolls disappeared. And it was my very last interview the day before I left for LA that got cancelled because somebody was diagnosed at the station. And then by the time we got to LA, it was like a ghost town and it was so weird. So we'd lost all of this incredible promotion. We had to get home and then we just had to think, what are we going to do? Mm. And we thought, should we delay it? But actually we couldn't because we were too far into it to do that. So we just had to get really creative on how we were going to promote it. And actually, in some ways, it's a bit of a blessing because you might have found this as well. You can promote internationally, you know, from the comfort of your own living room and get to places we probably never would have been able to go to. So I've been having these days where I go, today I'm in South America and on Tuesday I'm in, you know, in France. And then, I'm in the US at the end of the week. So it's kind of, it's been interesting and fun in that way, but it is starting to get a bit tedious and I miss people and I miss performing to people, you know, as you have done lots of online stuff.
Yeah.
Live streams, DJ sets.
I mean, but there's something really great because it's fully in your control, which if you were going to go and record in a TV studio, you'd be like, sorry, can I do one more take? And they'd be like, sorry, everyone's got to get out. I'm sorry. That's it. Well done. You'd be like, shit, I just was a bit toony on that. On this, you're like in control of your performance. Yeah. And I don't know, for me, I always get so terrified when I do TV. I'm sure you are not petrified because you had to do so much in your life.
Trust me, I am. It never goes away. Yeah. I think maybe when I was with the girls, we were doing such a volume of it and we were so exhausted that, you know, obviously our lives, we live on adrenaline. Mm. And I think you get to a point where you're so exhausted that you haven't got enough adrenaline to get nervous.
Yeah.
You're just like kind of not going through the motions, but you're in survival mode. And I remember that And I remember sometimes thinking, I actually prefer it when I'm really tired because I'm not as nervous.
As anxious.
But now I do because my life and my work is much slower paced. So, I freak out everything I do.
I mean, I just wonder, because really, the Spice Girls, how long were they you together? Like, you were together for a while, but like, you did two albums, you did everything, but it was in quite a compact time frame.
Well, Wannabe was released in July 96.
I remember it so well. My Leavers barbecue. year six, Leavers barbecue. Yeah, remember it so well.
Oh, that's so cute. So that was when Wannabe was released. That was 96. And then Jerry had gone. I don't even know when it was, 98, probably spring, summer of 98.
Yeah.
Because we were on tour. So, kind of 2 years, two albums, a movie.
That's
like
crazy.
Evening with the Spice Girls, like, you know, international, whole world promo. It was,
And then, like, thinking about, like, I know what it's like when you get back from, like, a long tour. And I'm talking about a long tour being, like, 6 weeks or something. And I haven't done that for years. And, but the impact on your, like, your health and you're just, you were doing the Brit Awards, you were doing TV. I mean, you must have been
on
absolutely
everything.
Shot. Mm. I can't even imagine how knackered you were. And it must have been, I know what it's like when you get off tour and they're like tour blues. I mean, was it wild how weird it was once
it
called it quits?
For that, you know, from the moment we started until we came off the American leg of the tour. So that was just the four of us then. Mm. So I think that was... I can't even remember when that was. It was Melanie and Victoria were pregnant. So we had like a natural break. We did 3 months in the US without Jerry. And yeah, that was the first time we'd stopped in over 2 years. And to be honest with you, I fell apart. Mm. You know, it was, I think because we had been living in this survival mode and our lives had completely changed. We were living in this very bizarre existence that it took a long time to... I called it integrating back into normality.
Yeah, I bet.
So when you were at this arts college, and then how did you get picked for the Spice Girls? Or did you see an audition? We want to put together a girl band.
Yeah, I was at Danceworks, it's called. It's in just off Oxford Street. And there's lots of, you know, dance classes there and auditions. I was there auditioning for something else and someone handed me a flyer and it was for this girl band. And I just looked at my mate and said, that's it. That's what I'm going to do. Because I was getting really frustrated because I was auditioning for lots of West End shows and different things, but nothing was...
So musical theatre?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And nothing was happening. So I was getting really annoyed. And I always wanted to work in music. That was like... My mum's also a singer.
Is she?
Yeah. So both my mum and my stepdad had been signed in the... Well, he was the 60s. I think my mum's band was maybe in the 70s, early 70s.
What kind of music was your mum making?
She started off doing folk stuff, but she does everything. She still goes out and gigs when she can. Yeah.
What's her name?
Her name is Joan O'Neill, and she's had many band names. I think it's just called Joan O'Neill Band right now. But she did a Tina Turner tribute for a few years.
Oh, how fab.
Wow. She's got a voice.
Great. Yeah. And she's got an amazing voice.
She must have good legs too.
She's got amazing legs,
That's what you need for Tina Turner, eh?
Yeah.
And
it's incredible
because
she does sound like her. It's really weird. I don't think she started sounding like her. You know, started off, but just think years of gigging and, you know, terrible monitors. And she just got so raspy that she's got this,
Oh, wow.
I know. Bonkers, right? But my mum, she won't mind me saying, she's 71 now. And she will still go out and gig. And I just think that's
amazing,
isn't it?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Like me.
She's fabulous.
Is she kind to the monitors, bloke?
She's your best friend, right?
Absolutely.
So you saw this flyer?
Yes. So I saw the flyer.
And you're how old then?
I was 19.
19.
I think 19, yeah. So what was that? I was 94. So, or maybe I was 20. And I said to my friend, that's it. That's what I'm going to do. And I went along to the audition and it's really funny. The first thing we had to do, there was hundreds of girls and we had to just freestyle dance to, what was the band called? Oh, Eternal. Do you remember Eternal?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. That's which song was it?
Stay.
Oh, Stay. Tune. Absolute tune.
Absolute tune. So we had to freestyle to that. And then, you know, obviously so superficial. It was all on look. So they were like, yeah, you stay, whatever. And then the people who had chosen to stay got to sing. So I sang I'm So Excited, Pointer Sisters. as it was the only thing I had sheet music for. My mum used to sing it. And there's tapes flying about. There's stuff on the internet you can see. You can see all of our auditions. And I was recalled. But when the recall happened, I was sick because I was getting tonsillitis quite a lot at that time.
From what, just singing so much, or
yeah,
just being knackered?
Being a student, yeah, right, and yeah, living in, you know, in, you know, not the best environment. And I was sick, so I couldn't even speak, let alone sing. So I was like, mum, please, you know, speak to them. Please just let them see me in a week. I really, you know, want to do
mum,
it.
Mum, speak to them.
Speak to them, because I can't speak.
Did she call up?
She called them and they said, no, sorry, we've chosen the girls now.
I didn't know this.
Bloody cheek.
I know. No.
So how did you get in?
So I was like, oh, well, there you go. I think because when you've, you know, grown up as a performer and auditioning, you
always get things come and go, right? Yeah.
And I think maybe a couple of weeks later, I got a call to say, oh, one of the girls hasn't worked out. Could you come back down and sing for us?
Oh, my goodness. Mm-hmm. Just you out of all those
people. Who is that person
people?
And have you ever met them?
I haven't
have
met
they ever
her, no.
tweeted you?
I think she's a backing singer. I think, you know, she's had a good career being a backing singer, but I've never met her. She's a Welsh girl. And I was invited to go down. I think it was it Nomis, that one? Studios. That's where we did the showcase.
And what were all the rest of the girls there?
So Jerry was there, Mel B was there, Victoria was there, and a girl called Michelle. And I went down and I sang Signed, Sealed, Delivered. And that was it. I was in the band. It was kind of, it was a done deal.
It was signed, sealed, delivered.
It was signed, sealed, delivered.
There you go.
It, exactly. And yeah, it was so surreal because it was so like, yeah, that's it. Bang, you're in. And I was like, okay. And then we stayed in this B&B. It was so weird. The management at the time lived in Surrey. And they put us in, I mean, it's such a long time ago. Now I'm having to, you know, remember all these details. And we stayed there, I think, for about 2 weeks, and we rehearsed and we sang and we, you know, we choreographed dances and stuff.
Did you choreograph your own dances?
Yeah, we did in the very beginning.
Oh,
yeah.
The wannabe dance then?
No, that was a little bit later down the line. We had a choreographer at that point, but we kind of, I mean, especially Mel's such a great dancer.
Yeah, amazing.
We always had, I mean, even in the studio, we were coming up with little ideas. And, you know, if you look at the Spice Girls dances, they're not that complicated.
I could do them and I was really proud to do them.
Hey, Jerry Spice can do them. Like. Oh, maybe she can't. She won't mind me saying.
Are you all still good friends?
We are, you know.
Yeah.
We actually got together a couple of weeks ago. I know Emma's spoken about this because we kind of done it on the down low because anything we ever do, if anyone knows about it, it just goes poof. So we were like, look, we don't want to do pickies. I mean, obviously, we're all very sensitive about social distancing as well at the moment. So we just said, no, this is just our little moment. But yeah, the five of us with Victoria, and we'd not actually all been together, the five of us, for a couple of years.
But I want to know, I'm really interested. You go to the Performing Arts College in Kent, very far away from your mum, stepdad. What are you eating when you're in digs at the age of 16? Was it a shocking diet?
Yeah, it really was. And what I found most shocking, because I was at Performing Arts College, where it was predominantly dancing that we were doing, where obviously you need energy, the aesthetic's important, so you could really do with having an education on nutrition, right? Which I think is much better now. There's a much better understanding. But this was like 1990. And we just left home. My mum had always fed me well. I had, you know, I had a good understanding of how to eat well. But you leave home and it's all McDonald's, Chinese takeaways.
Hot noodles.
And just rubbish. I mean, when we were very young, we were with a family, so she would cook, but she wasn't the best cook. No disrespect. She was feeding a lot of girls. There were seven of us in a house with a family of four. So that was, chaos. And it was lots of stews that kind of stayed on the stove all week and like tins of beans got added.
Oh, right.
And jacket potatoes that had been cooked earlier in the day. Then we got home from like college and we digsy who was first in the microwave and reheated microwave baked potatoes. So it wasn't the best.
Oh my God, I can't.
And then
imagine.
We used, this is a lovely little memory. So one of the girls, Emma, she was from Sunny Scunny, and her nana was sent her luncheon vouchers, and we'd always go the Chinese.
Those were fantastic. Luncheon vouchers. Well, people used to get them from work. luncheon vouchers, and you'd go to cafes that had LV on this a bit around sign that said LV, and you could pay for your lunch with your luncheon vouchers. So she must have saved them up and then sent them to her.
And you'd go, that's so sweet.
Which town in Kent were you in?
Sidcup.
Oh, yeah. Old Egg Cup. Does anyone want a piece of lemon drizzle?
Okay, yes. do you want to talk about your lemon drizzle?
No.
No, because I feel like you need to...
It's gluten-free.
Lovely,
and
thank you.
I don't know if... Let's try it, and then you tell her what the thing that's in it.
Right. Just taste this and see if you know what the added ingredient
is. Oh, it's so good.
Can you guess what the added ingredient is?
I want to say lemon curd.
No.
I mean, it tastes... It's
mashed potato, babe.
No way.
Mashed potato. Actually, Mum, that's bloody so good. This is excellent.
It's so good.
It's really good.
It's so
moist.
I'm not
really a baker.
Whose recipe is this? Because I feel like we need to shout them out. Is it a BBC Good Food? All right.
Oh, I always gravitate towards that
Me too.
Oh, it's like you know where you're at with it. Yeah. That is really good. That's bloody good.
Yeah.
You wouldn't know it was mashed potato, would you?
No.
I think that gives it the starch. Maybe.
Melanie, I'm really appreciating this cake, but I've got a lot to get through with Melanie, Mum. Sink the Pink.
Oh, yes.
The funnest.
Mm.
Glynn.
Oh
we need
God.
To talk about Glynn. I mean,
what a legend.
But I
that
just, I want to know how that happened.
What is Sink the Pink?
Sink the Pink, you explain to my mother.
So, Sink the Pink is an East London creative collective. And basically, it started as a club night. Where did they start? In the Working Men's Club in Bethnal Green? And
is it a gay night?
It's drag. Well, no, was it always drag though?
Oh, well, I think it's, amazing drag queens, but it's super inclusive. So it's the whole spectrum, LGBTQ+. And they have these amazing club nights, and it grew from a tiny little thing in a Working Men's Club to selling out the Troxy. They do really big nights, always sell out.
They're amazing.
It is incredible. Lots of performances. Everybody is so dressed up.
How many times have you done it?
So I was invited to go down and just sing a few songs, just do a bit of a PA. And I was quite nervous because I was following them on social media and not knowing a lot about them, but seeing all these, incredible drag queens. They just look so fierce. And I just had this thing where it was like, I always kind of thought that drag queens could be tricky, a bit, I don't know what this image I had of a drag queen, but I thought, I was a little bit scared. So I went down there for sound check in the afternoon. And as soon as I walked in, this just love. And it's just
such a beautiful
environment. Yeah, and
she's an icon, Mum.
Yeah, of course she is.
Well, they love a Spice Girl down there, definitely. So that was lovely. But I was just really blown away with how inclusive it was.
They look after you when you do it.
They really look after you. And everyone's so into it. They put so much time and effort into the performances, the choreography,
totally.
The rehearsals, their costumes.
Does everyone dress up?
Yeah.
Who did you have when you did Sink the Pink? Who did you have when you have to do the vote, the judging? Did you have people when you judge the walk off, basically Drag Race? Mm. It's that, it's the walk, it's the ballroom. I do want more, but I'm not going to. Thank you so much. But who was on your thing? Because I had Denise Van Outen and Talisa, and it blew my mind, and it's fantastic.
I think that's the beauty of Sink the Pink. It's it's so random, just anyone and everyone just fits in.
Yeah,
absolutely. It's this beautiful space where we can all be happily together.
But you went on tour with them round to all the Pride show because that looked so fun.
It was so fun. So, Sink the Pink. My first experience was a little performance at a club night.
Yeah,
and that was just a dream. Yeah. It went so well. And then they invited me to perform at the Mighty Hoopla, which is the big festival they do every year
in Brockwell Park.
And that was the first time I performed with the drag queens. And they came on stage.
And then there was never going back after that.
Well, it was quite momentous because we did a couple of Spice Girls tracks and it just went down a storm. It was one of those moments, you get these sometimes on stage, when you just feel it, when the audience is just really engrossed. And we had that magical moment and we were just we need to do this more. And then, with Glynn's help, we wanted to go bigger and better. Mm. And we put together a 45-minute show. It was quite theatrical.
Mm.
And we toured Pride's. And I went out, I flew out to Sao Paulo 3 days after completing the Spice Girls tour last year. So
that makes sure that you don't get tour blues. You're like, come on, yeah, let's go. That's amazing. Gosh.
It nearly killed me, but I'm so glad we did it because it was amazing. And performing with the drag queens and working so closely with people from the Pride community, obviously, you know, an audience that has supported the Spice Girls from day one and all of us as solo artists. Yeah. I'd never worked that closely with, you know, drag queens, non-binary people, and I just learned so much. It was such an education to me. Mm. And it had this really profound effect on me because I found self-acceptance through working with these people that obviously had some struggles growing up that I could never imagine. Mm. And it was just an incredible experience because I knew it'd be fun. I knew we'd have a great time, but I've actually walked away from it with so much more.
That's amazing.
Yeah. I get emotional when I talk about it because I love them all so much. Mm. They're such incredible people.
Yeah. But I guess you knew when you were in the Spice Girls, but you knew what your LGBTQ plus following was huge, right? But were you aware of that when you were putting out your solo music?
I think it's been this knowledge that's grown over the years, because I think when we started, well, we started talking about girl power because we experienced sexism in the industry, because we were just five girls, we wanted to be famous, we wanted to be pop stars, and you know, quite quickly we were being told, yeah, girl bands don't sell records, you can't be on the front cover of magazines because, you know, girls buy records by boys. And we were like, seriously, don't say that to the Spice Girls. That's like, you know, red rag to a bull. So that's when we started talking about girl power, and we knew actually we had a really important point to prove. And it was great because it gave us fire in our belly. But then quite quickly we realized that we had quite a big gay following, and it became more than girl power. It became people power. It became about equality. And we knew that at the time, but we didn't realise how important it was and the impact that it was having. Mm. And I think it's been over the last 10, 15
young,
years.
You were young, right? And it was a whirlwind.
Yeah.
I mean, my brother was in your Mama video.
Ah,
and he's cute. He's what? How old is he now?
Well, he's 32
He was
now.
Young and he wasn't. He wasn't out then, was he? But
he
like,
was 10,
well, yeah.
Probably.
But I mean, I think we knew. But yeah,
I didn't.
But anyway, I think he always has talked about that moment being in the Mama video as like a defining. I think a defining gay moment for
he
him.
He loved it.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
I've been reading a lot about Donna Summer recently, and I don't know if you know much about Donna Summer, but I mean, we know all her songs, but I didn't realise she was part of like musical theatre.
Oh, I didn't know that.
And I feel like there's so many comparisons with you and Donna. She did Hair musical. She went to Munich for years to do the German version of Hair, and she was obsessed with musical theatre.
Do you know what's so weird? I think I'm a bit psychic. I was listening to your album today, which I adore.
Thank you so much.
And I was thinking about Hair, the musical.
Well, I tried to basically try and make the last song like Hair, the musical. So thank you so much.
It's so beautiful. Yeah, it's really lush in 70s, but there's a bit of an 80s vibe going on.
Babe.
Yeah, I love it.
But, so I want to talk about musical theatre because
Jessie was in musical theatre.
Well, I mean, I was in school musical theatre. I did not go to performing arts.
No, you didn't go to performing arts. But there's always possibility you might be able to get a big part.
But I I've been really impressed by the roles that you've taken. I feel the like they've best. Been very decided. Like, you know, you were Mary Magdalene and you were in Blood Brothers. Mm-hmm. And like, those are brilliant
the
roles.
Best.
Yeah. You see, I came back to
you
musical
theatre. You haven't done Chicago, have you?
Haven't done Chicago.
And would you?
I do it on Broadway.
I completely know what you mean. Exactly.
Yeah, you're not going to do it at the Adelphi, are you?
Christ. Such a snob.
No, I understand
but
that.
But I think, you know, I love Chicago, but I think the problem with Chicago is they went through a phase. There's been this thing in, you know, God bless theatre and please God, you know, we can keep it after this horrible pandemic. But there was a time with musical theatre when lots of people from the telly were going into musical theatre and I think it cheapened some roles.
Especially Chicago.
Yeah.
Everybody did it.
Yeah.
But back to you. And your okay,
which role have you not played that you would like to in a musical theatre?
Maybe. Is her name... Gosh, I've forgotten her name now. Is it Sally in Cabaret?
Oh.
That's a goodie, isn't it?
I mean...
Well, that would be fabulous.
Yeah.
When you do musical theatre, I mean, you're a fantastic dancer, clearly, and you're trained.
Thank you.
So you want a role that shows off both... It's really
getting older. Songs, I want to do less dancing.
Do you?
It stresses me out, the dancing.
Does it?
Yeah, it's funny because that
you
was...
You look really in good shape.
Oh, thank you. But it all
I'm really glad that I got
bit,
to see the tummy tattoo today. I'm really happy. I feel like you are giving me 90s realness. I'm really thankful
actually,
that I got
actually, your
ages.
Hair looks gorgeous.
Oh,
did
you
have it cut during...
I just had it chopped, yeah, for my
looks
I shot a
beautiful.
Video. Yeah.
Oh, how was it? Did you have to do a COVID video where...
We did. We had to stay in meeting. Apart at all times, and everyone was in PPE on set, apart from the performance,
It was nice to be together.
Oh, it was amazing. It was like kind of normality. It was incredible. We shot at Ali Pali.
Oh, nice.
Which, if it wasn't for lockdown, we probably wouldn't have had that opportunity. So, you know, there are silver linings everywhere.
And what song is that for?
So the video is for my third single and it's called In and Out of Love.
So third single off the record, and when's the record coming out?
So the record's out in October.
Have you got plans for a tour yet? Or have you kind of, you're waiting?
Christ.
I always plan to tour 2021, thank goodness.
Right.
So that we're just like, oh, okay. When do we do it? Do we do it spring? So we're just kind of, feeling it out.
Who did the record with you?
So I did it. I've got a whole new team that I'm working with. This is the first album I've done with all my, you know, behind the scenes people, including my A&R, who's wonderful, Frank Tope.
Frank Tope is one of the most tasteful, like, he knows about music, Mr. Frank Tope.
The most amazing thing I've found with him is, you know, obviously we got to know each other a little bit before we started working together, but he put me, you know, not only with the right people stylistically, things that are going to work, but also personality-wise as well. So every session has been so productive.
That's so nice.
Because you can often, there's a bit of trial and error, isn't it? You
know,
because
oh
I always collaborate with people. Yeah, and that's what I always say. I always say, when you have your first collaboration with a, you know, another writer or a team, it's like a first date. You always get your best song because everyone's on the best behaviour.
Oh my God, I've never thought about it like that. That's so true.
Yeah.
So who did you work with on the record?
So I've worked with lots of new people. Before we talk about the new people, I'll talk about the person I went back to, which was so lovely. Do you know Biff?
No.
Richard Stannard.
No.
You need to know Biff. So Biff is from Matt and Biff, who did lots of Spice Girls stuff. So Wannabe, Spice Up Your Life, Goodbye, Viva Forever.
Oh, wow.
I mean, so many of the big biggies. And he's wonderful. He's got a gorgeous studio down in Brighton. And I worked with him on not my last album, but the album before. So it had been a while. So we got together. But he does a lot of stuff with Kylie. And I mean, he's worked with so many brilliant artists. Mm. But he started bringing in younger producers. And I just found that working with a lot more like younger writers and producers, it's really helped me freshen everything, which is what I wanted to do. Mm. It feels like a new chapter for me because so many things have changed. That was all so right. So a couple of guys I've been working with called Bill and Ted, who co-wrote and produced Blame It On Me, which was the second single.
Yeah.
And some great top liners I've been working with as well. Neve, who's also an artist, and Poppy Bascom, who's incredible. So, yeah, it's just...
It's felt
really
good.
Exciting.
Isn't it the best when it feels like a family
and
it doesn't feel like business?
Yeah, and when it's easy and it's like, it feels, you know, I've been lucky enough in my career, I've had those moments where something feels quite magical. I've had those moments when things feel quite shit. Also, yeah, yeah. But those magical moments, like when I made my first solo album, Northern Star, it was like, it just feels like everything's right. You know, it's just as it should be.
That was with I Turn to You and stuff. Yeah,
yeah. And Never Be the Same Again.
That was the one with Left Eye.
Yes.
Left Eye.
What did you eat in the studio with Left Eye?
We didn't eat in the studio, but we hung out in her hotel room and she ordered loads of lobster and loads of seafood.
My girl, yeah. Yes, Left Eye.
It was seafood and white wine, which always works for me.
Oh my God, it was, I mean, that is the thing. It is a bit, there's more budgets now, isn't there, babe?
I know.
Is there a memorable meal from the 90s that you... Sorry, a bird has joined us.
It's a magpie.
Fuck off. I'm like...
I'm like that.
I'm interviewing Melanie Singh.
We need another one. Why do we need...
Sorrow. Oh, is that Sorrow? Shit, don't look at him. Don't look at him.
Two for Joy. Oh, God. It's having a chat with its mate. It'll turn up.
Yeah. He's calling him over. Is there any memorable... Because I, you know, all we hear about now, and you must hear it too, like the budgets and da-da-da-da-da, and everything's, you know, on a budget. And look, we're still having a good time. But the 90s must have been mental for that.
The 90s was amazing. If you think about it, right, so myself and, you know, we're all from differing backgrounds, but predominantly working class backgrounds, all of the Spice Girls. So, you know, personally, I grew up in a family where my mum worked all week and then she gigged all weekend just to put food on the table.
Yeah.
You know, there was no extravagances. That's just the way it was, you know, growing up in that area.
Did your mum have two jobs?
Yeah, she's worked for the NHS for years.
Oh, bless you.
And then singing at the weekend as well. There's its mate over there.
Yeah. Oh, thank God. Joy, thank you.
Could be the parakeets.
Whatever, we'll take it.
The downside of recording a podcast in your garden.
Yeah. But yeah, go on, so.
Yeah, so then, of course, when we finally got our album together and we had management and we were looking at getting signed by labels, everyone wanted to schmooze us. So we were still, you know, we weren't earning any money. So we were actually on the dole. And I think Jerry was homeless at the time, you know, sleeping on couches and stuff. But we were being flown to LA by Virgin Records, staying at the Four Seasons in Beverly Hills, being picked up by
Stretch Limos. Ordering everything on room service.
It was crazy. And yeah, going to these incredible restaurants. And something the Spice Girls, or being a part of the Spice Girls, taught me, and I always say this to people, I'm such an old lady now with my advice, is that you should never feel uncomfortable in any environment. Because, you know, we came, some of us, from nothing and had never experienced a five-star hotel or a swanky restaurant. But because we had each other, we just rocked up and we just enjoyed it. And so I feel... like, I know people feel intimidated to go into certain environments, and I just want to say, don't. Because, you know,
we all deserve to... Do you ever get told off for being too loud?
I don't think anyone ever did.
Yeah, right. Myself.
It's funny because I get asked quite a lot about the Me Too movement and about, you know, that within the music industry. And if I ever experienced anything, I was like, are you kidding me? No one would come near the Spice Girls because they were petrified of us.
Were they?
Well, they knew that. If you, you know, I think often with these situations, there can be vulnerable people that are targeted, aren't there? Which, of course, there are some vulnerable people in Spice Girls, but because you knew if you mess with one of them, you'd have to deal with the other four. So we always have backup.
That's amazing. Melanie C., what is your
desert island meal?
Ooh.
So you're going to go on a desert island for at least 6 months.
Mm-hmm. So you're going to eat it every day?
No.
No, this is one that you'll eat before you go.
Okay. So is this kind of like your last meal, a bit more positive?
Yeah. Okay. So starter, main, pud and drink of choice.
Okay. So my starter, I think, would have to have scallops.
Oh, yeah.
I always go for a scallop.
Me too.
Yeah, if I see it on a menu, I'm having it.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then...
Do you cook them? Do you ever cook them?
Do you know what I have done in the past?
They're
it's
easy.
So easy.
Yeah, yeah, okay.
Just quickly. Fish place.
It's always a pea puree and a pancetta, isn't it? Everyone loves that. Yeah. Carry on.
Are we talking drinks? Should we do a drink for every
course? Yeah.
Oh, I love you. Yes, yes.
Well, if I'm going to go for dinner, I'd like to start with a cocktail.
And which is your cocktail?
Well, I do love a margarita. Oh, or a picante. So do you know a picante?
Yeah. They're really good, and I hate myself for being part of a meme kind of. I know they're bloody good.
Why? What do you put
there
in
is,
it?
They're at Soho. Is it a Soho House special? I know, and that also makes
what
me
is it?
Sick. Yeah. A picante is a chili infused margarita.
Then it would not be for me.
It's bloody great.
Oh, it's fabulous.
No.
So it's a Tommy's margarita, which are my favourite because they don't use triple sec. You use agave syrup. But it has coriander and hot chili in it.
Have you tried to make them at home?
Yeah, we did. Yeah, he makes a good one.
Did you get rocked? Because I did, watching Annie Mac and Toddler T's DJ set at home with my husband. I was like, come on, babe. I had the worst hangover of my life. It was horrendous.
But you shouldn't be getting hangovers off tequila. So
yeah, that's a bloody lie. Yeah,
that's it's a myth, lie. Isn't it?
Okay, so tequila, a little picante or a cheeky margarita.
Yeah, and then I'll have my scallops. And then, oh, I don't want for my main. I do like a bit of fish. A nice bit of sea bass. I know it's a bit obvious. See, I go for the sea bass or I go for a nice steak. Let's have a steak.
Okay, and then
some fish
how are you having it?
I'm going to have it medium.
Yeah, with any side?
I think I need to have some like fat chips, like triple cooked or something.
Oh, yeah.
If we can get some truffle in there, that'd be good.
Oh, little truffle
Joe
salt
Wicks.
Or something.
Joe Wicks,
no,
yeah.
Who?
That's he likes truffle on his
and
chips.
And so does Noomi Rapace.
Yeah,
she
everyone likes truffle.
Travels with a truffle salt everywhere. Yeah.
Do you know what? Truffle's really good on scrambled eggs.
Oh, I can imagine that. Yeah, fancy Sunday scrambled eggs. I like that.
Okay, so you've got steak and chips. Any sauce? Béarnaise or?
Do you know what? I'm not a sauce kind of girl.
Okay.
Bit of mustard.
Mustard. Nice what sort of mustard?
Let's go for English. I want a bit of heat.
English, really?
Yeah.
Okay, and drink?
Yeah.
Red wine?
Drink's got to be a red. Yeah.
Which red?
I like a Rioja. Maybe
me
a Rioja.
Me too.
Yeah. Full
Majestic
body.
Majestic making really good house Rioja that's only 12 quid. Their definition Rioja and it's lovely.
Have you been drinking Pet Nat recently?
Oh, Jessie's.
I'm hooked.
She's
oh,
she
lives near Peckham now. Mum? It came before champagne, Mum. If you look at all those freaking old paintings, they're all drinking orange wine that's fizzy. It's not champagne.
But no one is now till you start.
So it's freaking art.
Oh my God, babe.
It's amazing. It's just basically natural wine that's fizzy.
Ooh.
It's so delicious. You can get it like rosé. I should have brought some, but like there's this one called Astro Bunny, which is phenomenal.
Love the name.
And really fun. And
colour?
That was a bit orangey. And they're kind of different with their different skin to contact. So you can get like a rosy, you can get more of an orangey one. I had a really interesting one that was...
Not cheap.
It's not cheap, but it's cheaper than champagne and it kind of does the job. You should try some Pet Nat.
It does the job.
There's a connoisseur. Does the job.
Anyway.
Get it down,
It's good.
That's what they say when they go to the Grand National. Oh, does the job.
Okay, anyway, carry on. Your pudding, please, Mel.
My pudding. Oh, God, this is... Oh, I do love a pavlova. And I've had that steak and it might be a bit heavy, you know, having a steak and then a big old pud. So I think I want to go for a pavlova or a
with what on the top? Do you like just strawberries, raspberries?
I like a raspberry, loads of cream. I love my cream.
Oh, I love it so much.
Yeah.
Do you think you've got good table manners?
I do. I don't know. Do you think I have? The man who sits opposite me. I think I pretty much do. I think it's difficult, isn't it? Because you look at other people and you go, like the kids, you're like, eat properly.
Yeah, I know.
They're disgusting, aren't they? Children. But, and I think, oh, I'm so perfect. And then I think, but am I? If no one's watching, I'm not. I do like to lick my plate.
Oh,
when no one's looking.
I'm not judging you.
Because I'm saving the dishwasher. I don't want to get my pipes blocked.
Absolutely.
Do you know what I mean?
I like that. And what's your worst table manner in somebody else?
Noisy eating.
Yeah, there's a thing. What's it called?
Misophonia.
Yeah.
Oh, is it a thing?
Yeah, it's a thing. I can't stand hearing people eat apples.
Yeah, we struggle with the kids. His son and my daughter are pigs, aren't they? Scarlett's like, my daughter's like that.
Having been such a successful artist, how has it affected your daughter? Or has it not affected her at all?
Do you protect her from her being photographed and things like that?
I do. I think, you know, obviously, I've got very close friends that have a very different, you know, way of dealing with it. But I feel like it's not my decision to make. If she wants to be in the public eye, she needs to make that decision when she's old enough to make it, you know. But, you know, I respect that, you know, people feel differently about these things. But, yeah, I mean, I have been through phases where I have guilt because I think it can be a curse that your parent is famous. But with Scarlett, with the Spice Girls thing, I just kind of introduced her to things when she was young. You know, when she was 3 or 4, she'd watch videos. And so it's just always been in her life. It's her norm, really.
Yeah.
And we speak really openly about everything. And I think she's got quite a good handle on it. When we did the tour last year, it was the first time she'd seen me as a Spice Girl in front of 70,000 people at Wembley.
From school?
Yeah, she did. She brought a few friends. And I think at first she was quite overwhelmed because obviously she'd seen videos and different things, but to see all those people going nuts for us all.
Surely Scarlett thought you were pretty cool that night, yeah? Oh, she probably thinks you are cool anyway. My daughter doesn't. She tells me to turn my music off when it's on.
Yeah, so my daughter, I think she's always, there's been an element of coolness. She gets a bit annoyed. She went through this phase at school when people are going, oh, that's the Spice Girls kid, whatever, and it's so it got on her nerves. But when she saw me at Wembley Stadium, she was like, yeah, my mum's quite cool. Yeah. But that's kind of subsided again. So the Spice Girls need to go back on tour for my daughter to remember that I'm cool.
Will they go back on tour?
I hope so.
Yeah.
I hope so.
We've got to go next time.
You do.
Yeah,
the show's incredible.
Yeah, I was very jealous. It looked phenomenal.
We couldn't get tickets.
Next time, I know someone.
Okay, good. Oh, Melanie, what a pleasure to just sit
just
with you.
Gorgeous.
Thank you for doing this. Thank you for being our first alfresco guest.
Yeah.
Thank you for wearing sportwear.
Yeah,
you
of
know,
course.
And thank you for just being the most wonderful, brilliant, everything that I could have expected and more. And I honestly, I am so in awe of how you have, well, I mean, I've been in awe of you since Spice Girls, but just your journey in your career has been so ever changing and evolving and so much. And I just feel like it's kind of limitless for you and you just carry on and it's just exciting to
watch.
Thank
you. That's so lovely. Because you just, you know, you don't know what people know. You know, your career has its, you know, ups and downs and this little journey and so much of what I do, I think, goes unnoticed. So for you to have that knowledge is so lovely.
I just want you back in the musicals at Broadway, baby.
This is your prize.
A prize.
lucky. The table manners tea towel.
It's quite scary-esque, isn't it?
With it is. Yeah, she did like it.
I love it. Thank you.
What a wonderful woman.
Just gorgeous.
Just
warm, lovely,
philosophical,
interesting,
fun. We could have gone on forever. This felt too tame. I know she's Naughty Spice, I feel like. We could have gone and had a little picante and then a little something else.
Dead
star.
Normal,
dead normal.
She's someone that's done everything.
She was always the relatable one.
Do you think?
Yeah. Just love her. And she had sportswear on.
Yeah, I know.
Like, she actually lives and breathes it. She had an Adidas tracksuit on, and I could see her angel tattoo on her very toned abs. I mean, she looks exactly the same as when we saw her in the Wannabe video.
Yeah, she did. She did.
Loved her. Thank you so much, Melanie C. Good luck with the record, which is out in October. And we love you, and this is not the end of my relationship with you. I know it now. How nice, I mean, apart from the magpies and the dogs barking and the children in the garden playing with the basketball hoop, how nice was it to be outside and be together with someone?
Yeah.
Now, we don't know how it's going to go from here on in. They may not all be in the flesh, but it was a real treat to be face-to-face with somebody and somebody that we love so much. So thank you so much, Melanie C.
A very good first face-to-face.
Al fresco. Table manners al fresco. Here we come.
Thanks for listening. See you next week.
She just texted me too. Oh, my God.
What'd she say?
Just, hey, it's Melanie. Oh, my God, we're friends! We're friends!
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.